Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on April 2nd, 2021. April Fools, we're actually recording this on April 1st. Alright, now that we got the dumb April Fools joke out of the way, I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to once again talk about some of the anime we've been watching, some of which is on Toonami, some of which is not. Which one is which? Well, you can probably figure that out pretty easily, especially considering we start with the Toonami stuff. All right. So, with Toonami, we've got our usual lineup, but we also have, we've got the final episode, it's not the final episode of the season. It's the final episode of this half of the season of That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. And because we had so many of our non-Toonami stuff end last time, we decided, let's go and watch the Konosuba movie.
Yep.
Now that it's available and dubbed. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll be discussing those at the end. For now, we've got Attack on Titan episode 70. So, Gabby and Falco, who were captured, managed to escape, and then they just, now that they're on the island of Paradis, you know, like the one that the all, where the first three seasons took place.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up coming across a house, which is, well, what do you know, it's, the one of the family of Sasha. What are the odds? So they decide to try to, you know, pretend to, be people who just, who ran away from home so that they could stay there for a little while. Gabby is really, really, really bad at trying to pretend to be that. Like, to a kind of a ridiculous extent.
Yeah, she's gone completely nuts.
Like, the thing, I think about it, even if there were people who were, if there were, like, people I thought were going to try to kill me or whatever, and, you know, I was having to pretend to be one of them or whatever and something like this, I also, like, really hated them or whatever, I'd at least keep my mouth shut about that. Being nervous and stuff, sure, that kind of reaction is fine, but when she goes into weird rants directly to them...
Yeah.
It's,
how did they know that was Sasha's family? Or even that they... How did they know that Sasha's name and all of that? Like, how did she know, okay, I killed Sasha, and now I'm in her family's house.
That's a good point. Maybe it was explained and I missed it. I can't remember about... Yeah, that might have been explained, but if so, I missed it.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Also, it turns out, and I feel it... I feel so stupid for this, but because of that, I need to admit it. For some reason, I didn't realize that Hanji wore glasses, even though she's one of my favorite characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because whenever she's in combat, and that's basically most we've seen her do for a while, so I guess that's why I neglected that. I just remember when I saw that, I said, when has she worn glasses? And you said, when has she not?
Yeah.
So, basically, yeah. So, and that was essentially the episode.
Yep. So Gabby completely losing her mind is like the new theme of this arc. And, to some extent, it's kind of entertaining. But to another extent, it's just kind of aggravating. And I saw they announced there's going to be a second part of the final season. So,
I guess
that solved the problem we had about it ending before anything got resolved.
The real question I mean... it was something that was so obvious. I don't know why they waited until now to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone who had read the manga could have looked at it and said, all right, unless you rush through things crazy fast, there is no way you can complete the story in 16 episodes. And even if you never read the manga and you were just watching the anime, you could have told ahead of time, okay, there is no way they're going to be able to wrap these things up, you know, in the last few episodes, unless they just completely do some crazy rushed ending. So I don't know why they took so long to say what everyone knew was going to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry about constantly clearing my throat. But yeah, so we're going to get a second part of that season. I don't know how long it'll be, but yeah, so we'll get that sometime.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see, was there anything else to say? Nope, that's it for Attack on Titan. Then we've got episode 42 of Food Wars.
Yeah, so things are starting to happen, and so basically Soma and Megumi go away and are trying this food from the number one guy, I think, and then Erina's put together a meal, and she has a place reserved for someone, hoping they're going to come up. But that person doesn't come. Instead, this other rather shady guy comes in, and he starts criticizing Erina like crazy. And and then Soma just decides to walk in because he doesn't really have any idea of what kind of situation they're in. So he shows up, and then that guy, he ends up leaving, and since he is Erna's father, well, I think it's her grandfather who, like, tries to stop him, but as it turns out, there's been a coup from the Council of Elite Ten, and they've voted 6-4 to make Erna's father the new president or something of Totsuki Academy. So obviously that's not a good thing. We don't know why it's not a good thing yet, but we will. And for the first time in the series, Erina actually looks like she's not completely in control, which I think it helps her character development a lot, because I think, it continues as this season goes along. So I really like this episode. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was good too. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep having to clear my throat today. But yeah, maybe I should get a drink of water or something. Oh, well. As I was saying, it was decent enough. I noticed that Zami's voice, the person who does his voice is the same who does Whis on Dragon Ball. So maybe the reason he's so upset about what he sees as his complaints about the quality of the food is because he realizes that they need to make sure there's good food on Earth to keep Beerus happy.
Mm. Yeah.
I wish I could. Yet another joke I shamelessly took from someone else that I saw online. Anyway. Mm. Yeah, there was that. It is a little weird, though, that considering they've spent, it seems like they've spent a bunch of time, you know, indicating, oh, Rindo, she's actually kind of nice and swell. And it's like, oh, and she's just like, oh, no, I totally signed on to letting a zombie take over the school. So I guess I'm evil now.
Well, yeah, for now she's evil. So, yeah, but you did point out, though, like, Erna's father just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like all of a sudden he just shows up, and I don't know if you could have done it in a better way, but I can say that I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I got distracted for a second there. Anyway, he came out of nowhere, and I don't know how to do it better than they did it, but I still think he came out of nowhere. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's a good introduction. I mean, he has, for like an antagonist, he makes a strong impression. It's just the fact that I don't think he was ever mentioned before this.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, and the problem is I'm not sure if this is true. Look, this is what someone said on a message board. Must have been like 6 years ago when this was happening in the manga. And they mentioned something about how this series, it wasn't at this point exactly. I think it was a little bit after this. They mentioned that it had a new editor or something. And they were speculating that maybe the fact the series kind of takes a new turn at this point was a result of that. You know, the editor saying, hey, you should have, like, more of a villain here. And he's like, okay, well, here we go. But that's speculation. And, of course, look, I'm going by what I saw someone say online 5 to 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't even know where I would... I could probably dig it up if I tried hard enough. But yeah, that's the biggest problem. I wish there had been a little more build up to this. I'm just left wondering, was he mentioned before this? That's what I wish I could check to see.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking over the Food Wars wiki, and it mentions, oh, this, like, you know, anime and manga debut when they first appear, but it doesn't say anything about the first time he was mentioned, and other right. characters don't have a separate mentioned either, so I don't really know which one that, how that works out, but okay, so it's actually there's actually, if I remember correctly, and I might not, maybe there was buildup. I seem to remember there's actually another character, another relative of Erina's who also comes into series kind of out of nowhere later on. I think it's in the final season. It happened, so it hasn't gone. It's not where you are yet.
Yeah, I'm at the end of episode of season three. I have the Blu-ray sitting right here of the fourth plate, but I've been way too busy to watch it. So, we'll get to that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long time since I read the stuff that was the final arc, but I do seem to remember that a character show and other relatives shows up, and it's like, I'm not sure this person was mentioned before. Well, no, I think they must have been mentioned, but we didn't. But there wasn't, like, I don't think we got any indications about them. So, but I could be misremembering. But in this case, definitely, this was a character that's the biggest flaw with the introduction, which is a shame because it's actually a pretty good introduction. Other than that,
yeah.
Okay, let's see. So. Did you see Fire Force?
No, not able to. Sorry.
Okay. It was.
You can talk about it.
I don't have too much to say about it other than my prediction, unfortunately, was kind of correct. The series went down in quality after that arc. This episode like had two stories. The first one was a sort of weirdly serious one. I didn't find that interesting, although I'll admit I wasn't paying that much attention to it. And the second is this weird, goofy comedy thing about how one of the antagonists can't beat Tamaki. Tamaki is like the girl whose whole joke is that she keeps accidentally having her clothes fall off somehow. And he keeps getting distracted by that and can't beat her. And that's basically the joke, that he can't, that he keeps failing at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So the weirdest thing is apparent. It ends with him like thinking, you know, doing training and stuff. And he's like, all right, this time I'll be able to do it. Maybe. And he's like, goes to attack, and then the episode end. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be continued in the next episode. Right. And I look at the synopsis like, oh, I don't see anything at all about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it is mentioned in the next, maybe it does continue the next one. I guess I'll find out, but it was kind of weird. That was the case. The only other thing I guess I wanted to mention is that there's apparently, I didn't see it, but someone mentioned it, there's actually in one of the scenes a sort of cameo of a character from the author's previous work, Soul Eater. I don't think you even see the person's face. It's just, you just like see their hair and say them say some stuff that indicates it's that character. It's less recognizable because they have a different voice actor in this than they used for the Soul Eater dub for that. I mean, they only like had a few lines, so I don't know. Random bit there. It was I can't even remember his name. He was Maka's father in Soul Eater. Okay, so that was Fire Force. Didn't really. I said more than I really planned to, but so. We are on Black Clover episode 143. So, they're trying to figure out where the kidnapped people were taken. Gaush decides that it must be the fault of that guy Damnatio Kira, and you know just grabs Finral and basically breaks into his office and attacks him, but then it turns it's revealed that no, he didn't do it, because they check his memories and there's none of that stuff there. And you're just like, wouldn't that like solve every trial ever? I don't know, maybe there's some rule restriction on how you can do it. Maybe it has to be at least somewhat willing. I don't know. Well, anyway, so then they're like, oh, sorry, wrong guy. But then they, because of the memory, now here's the weirdest thing. So they notice from the memories there's that guy who was working under Kira. I want to say, Damnatio is such a goofy name, I don't want to say it, but if I say Kira, it sounds like I'm referring to Death Note or Bleach. But anyway, they see his memory of last episode where his sort of subordinate seemed more wanting to go directly after Asta and stuff, which makes me wonder, did they, like, they noticed that. So did they actually play through all of the memories? They just sat there and watched the last few? How did that work? Did they fast forward through stuff? Well, whatever. They figure that out, so then they have to... So once they've figured out that stuff, then they are gonna go to try to, you know, get rescue them with the information they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wasn't really as interested in this episode. But, you know, it wasn't bad. I don't understand the bird character, Nero / Sekre. Like, why doesn't she just stick to one of the two, either be a bird or be a human? But it's just like, every scene, it's just like random, whether sees a human or a bird, you know?
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing for Rimuru. He keeps switching between slime and human.
Yeah, Yorichi, cat, human. Yeah.
Well, after she revealed herself, I can't even remember any time she was a cat after the original, after, you know, she revealed herself. Was there any times?
I probably in filler, but you are right about that.
Well, they, because I remember the cat form had a fairly deep voice to, you know, try to keep it from you that she was actually a girl. But so I guess after that, there's not much point to keeping that. So I don't know. I just don't remember any reveals after any time she switches back after the reveal.
Though, truth be told, she kind of got written out of the series for like 100 episodes or so.
Yeah, well, then she gets, well, she does show up for the battle with Aizen, where she wears,
right.
It's so weird because she's wearing that armor, and they make a point of how it's special armor directly, you know, that can actually withstand Aizen, except so much of her body isn't covered by it, you know, for fan service stuff, but...
Yeah, fan service reasons.
You can usually kind of, I mean, some, that's not... Doing, like, that sort of weird thing with the armor, you know, usually it's just like, okay, whatever. But it's weird they just make such a big deal out of the importance of it from what I remember. So, I don't know. That was just kind of a little weird. Anyway.
Actually, yeah, if I remember correctly, that was probably the last episode I saw of the Aizen fight arc. Because what happened was that was the last night I was in Pittsburgh, and then I moved out to Los Angeles, and I didn't have cable out there, so I missed the rest of the Aizen arc. And so, yeah, that was, I think, episode 300, too. So, yeah, that brings back some memories, but yeah, go ahead.
I can't even remember how the rest of the fight went. It's such a blur because it went on for so long.
Yeah.
Ichigo beat him somehow. It's so weird that I have better memories of the arc after it, which people consider to be really, which people really don't like, than the actual battle against, you know, the guy that the series had been hyping up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not too much else to say about Black Clover. I mean, it's just a consequence of the filler arc. And I know you say, it's only kind of filler, but it's functionally speaking filler.
Right.
All right. So that is our Toonami stuff. So do you want to talk Konosuba or slime first?
We'll get slime out of the way first.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, Rimuru brings Sion back to life, and then there's a thing where the guy is trying to make him say that her food doesn't taste good, and Rimuru treats it as if it's like a really important thing. So so basically they have that, and then what did happen after that? I can't really, oh, that's right, he wanted something about reviving the dragon or something. Right.
What happened was, first we find out that Milim, you know, that pink-haired demon lord girl, decided to attack the kingdom of, I can't remember his name, one of the other demon lord guys. The one, like, Ocarion, that was it, because they were setting up the, like, relations with him at the start of this season. And she apparently beats him. And then, you know, his subordinates have shown up here to try to get help. And people are wondering, well, gee, why is Mileen doing that? Then, meanwhile, Rimuru decides that, I guess because he's got the power now, he's able to free Veldora, that dragon from the first episode or two, and makes a body or something for him, and then he comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally, it ends right there with him assuming that new body.
Yeah. Yeah. And despite the way I explained it, I actually thought it was a pretty good episode, but I thought it was pretty funny, at least. And it had some of the charm that the first season had. The first part of the first season, that is. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, so last episode, I said that watching it, the episode was like having a balloon of enthusiasm that just gradually drained out. This episode was kind of the opposite. Because I'm watching it, and midway through, I'm just suddenly realizing, well, hang on. I went into this episode. This was literally my thinking. It was like, okay, we got one more episode. Let's just get it over with. And then I'm watching it. And I, like, midway through, I'm realizing, wait, I'm actually really enjoying this. This is fun. The jokes are good. Even the plot stuff is decent. And I was originally planning to watch half of it yesterday and finished it today, but I decided that I liked it enough that I just finished the whole thing, and it managed to single-handedly change my opinion to actually being interested in what will happen next. This is the best episode of the season, definitely, because, like I said, the goofy stuff with Shion's cooking was kind of stuff at the beginning was pretty funny. There is a legitimate question was bringing, okay, so why is Mileen doing all this? Because last we saw her, she was basically kind of goofy and stuff.
Right.
And so why is she doing all of this? And why is it only now we're actually getting her when she's like so prominently featured in the ending credits? And then we get Veldora, being released, which is, well, honestly, that's something that almost, that kind of felt like it could have used maybe a little more build up, because it just seems like it suddenly happens, and you're like, oh, really? Wow, already? Okay.
Yeah.
Although when he comes out, he like says something like, "All who defy me will be slaughtered," and I'm not a betting person, but if I were, I would predict that the start of the next episode when it comes back will be Rimuru saying, "That seems kind of violent." And Veldora says something like, "Oh, well, I just wanted to say something cool when I came out." a joke like that will probably be made. But yeah, this was a very good episode that actually does get me interested again in what's going to happen after these several episodes where I was just not caring.
Yeah.
I don't know if it had as big of a dramatic effect on you, but it did for me.
Well, for me, it was like I did already like it, so it wasn't really something that made me like it again, but I did think it was a good episode, so I enjoyed it. So yeah,
and at least it seems to be setting up possible antagonists that might actually not be pulverized by Rimuru, because like I mentioned, he was already overpowered. Now he's even more powerful, so The only people who can who could really beat him at this point are the other demon lords. So at least, so I guess they're going to be major antagonists now, because you need someone who can actually take him on.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that was basically it on the whole. Like I said, yeah, I like this episode quite a bit, but I and yeah, so with that, we're moving on to Konosuba Legend of Crimson, the Konosuba movie that came out, when did it come out? Was it 2019? Let me double check. I know it only got like the, it came out in mid-2019, so a year and a half ago, basically.
Uh-huh.
It only recently got dubbed, but Konosuba's dubbing itself was relatively recent, so.
Yep.
Okay, so I guess to just go over the plot really quickly, they all end up heading over to the Crimson Demon's village, the Crimson, that being, you know, where Megumin's from. They come across another one of the Demon King's, or is it Devil King? I can't remember which translation the anime is going with. I'm going to call it Devil King, but it might be Demon King. I know different translations use different ones.
Mm-hmm.
One of his generals is sort of causing problems there. She ends up managing to actually get her hands on this magic nullifying device that basically leaves the Crimson Demons helpless against them, but the same guy who made that device also made something that can beat it, so they use a gun, basically. So they manage to do that, to take her out, but then she comes back, and then they have to go through, there's another phase to the fight, but they manage to take her down again, and yeah, that's basically the movie's plot in a nutshell. I tried to go through it quick. I probably got bogged down in a few things. So do you want to talk about it as a whole? Do you want to go through the different parts of it and what we thought, or how do you want to approach it?
I want to address my biggest problem with the movie, and that is the complete absence of Aqua from pretty much everything. Like, Aqua did absolutely, I mean, not okay, I know she's useless, so of course she didn't do anything, but I mean, it was as if they had completely written her out of the show. And it was just like, okay, so we're going to spend more time on Yunyun than we are on Aqua. Like, Yunyun literally got more lines than Aqua did in this show. And Aqua was at one point the main girl. Yeah, I thought that was just a really stupid decision to just kind of leave one of the characters out of it just because you couldn't think of anything for her to do. And I feel the movie suffered as a result of it. It wasn't bad, but I felt like if they would have, at least given all three of the girls some real purpose in this movie, it would have made it better. But it seemed like they were trying to push this Kazuma Megumin romance, which doesn't feel right and isn't really all that entertaining either. So yeah, I feel like, Yeah, but this movie needed more than just Megumin yelling explosion all the time. But I've had that problem with the show before. So, yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on it.
Okay. So, I guess to kind of go a little through it a little chronologically. So the opening thing where, I should talk about what you mentioned. Yeah, Aqua definitely had the least presence of the characters in this. I mean, Darkness kind of got sidelined too, but, you know, she still had a bit more to do. The biggest contribution I can really think of that Aqua did in this movie was buffing Kazuma's luck stat towards the end. So that is a plan to try to take down Sylvia by weakening her and letting Megumin and Yunyun fire a giant explosion spell at her to also hit him with the luck, you know, being what prevent him from being completely pulverized. That was her biggest thing. And I want to mention actually something. So I haven't read the novel, but I did read someone saying what the differences were. That whole extra sort of fight against Sylvia, you know, where she seems to die but then comes back, that was not in the book. That was added for the movie. In the book, she gets killed off when they fire the gun at her, and that's the end of it. The movie presumably decided, I don't know, you needed more of a climax to a movie, so they added that extra bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is kind of why you suddenly notice, wow, Kazuma's being way nicer all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And when things especially start wondering, like, wait, why does Sylvia come back? Like, why can she do it now but not again? Why does this work? But, yeah, I mean, there is some decent stuff in that bit. But, anyway, what was I saying? Right. Yeah, Aqua did get sidelined. But, I mean, it makes sense that Megumin and Yunyun would be getting the attention, because this is an arc about them visiting the Crimson Demon Village. So, of course, the Crimson Demon characters are the ones who would get the most attention.
Oh, I didn't realize that this was a book adaptation. I was just thinking, okay, let's have a movie based on Konosuba, and this is how we're going to do the movie. We're going to focus in on everyone's favorite character, and we're going to make the other characters not as featured. But apparently, from what you're saying, is that this is actually okay.
The movie corresponds roughly to the events is of the fifth light novel. The first season was the first two light novels, the second season was 3 and 4, and then the movie is the fifth, which yeah, it's just making me realize how little of the series we've actually gotten adapted. There are 17 light novels in this series. We're not even one third of the way through the story. So anyway, to get back to the start, the bit where Yunyun just randomly comes in and is like talking to Kazuma, it's like saying, I want to have your child, and it turns out it was because of this prophecy thing she read, but it turns out that it was actually just some story someone wrote that she mistook as a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of funny. Honestly, the thing that annoys, this might seem like my least favorite part of the movie is when they get transported towards the village, but they're still a bit of ways away, and then they're being chased by all of the female orcs because they want to mate with Kazuma. And I'm kind of, and you know, okay, that's, you know, you can go with that. But when we're at the point literally where they've grabbed him, they're holding him down and are starting to take off his pants. And I'm like, okay, this, we're not funny. This is just, this is gross and uncomfortable. Like, I hate to say this because I know this is such an annoying thing, but if you were to swap the genders, this would, this scene would be like not considered even remotely comedic.
Yeah.
So that I did not like. That was my least favorite part of the movie. And the thing is, when they're being chased, I'm like, oh, this is kind of funny. They're running away from them. But it gets so, when we're at the point where Kazuma is literally apparently seconds away from being outright raped, I'm like, no, please. Okay. And it has the usual thing that I've never, that always felt annoying to me, like, oh, like when they always make, like they always animate all like, you know, like the chests of the female characters is jiggling around whenever they move. I don't know. That always just felt kind of crass to me. But anyway, but that was something that's always been there in Konosuba. But getting away more to the away from that to the stuff I did like more. Yeah, I mean, I liked seeing some of the stuff with the Crimson Demons and things. Some of, like I mentioned, I mean, I've usually never cared. So when we were doing our ranking stuff, I kind of complained about me not liking the sex jokes in Konosuba. It's not that I kind of phrased that wrong. It's not that I dislike those. It's just at some points I feel they get a little too vulgar for me is all.
Mm-hmm.
At some points. But I mean, like that opening stuff with Yun, I thought that was really funny. Yeah, I had notes. What was I going to say about this stuff? Because I've been mostly kind of complaining. Other than that, though, I mean, it's fun. It's funny. The characters are kind of are entertaining. I've said it before. This movie is just the stuff I like and the stuff I don't like about Konosuba.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. There was one other, there's something I wanted to mention, but now I'm forgetting what it was. I do, speaking of this more into general, it's actually interesting because our main characters are kind of a bunch of idiots and yet they still keep beating the Devil King generals.
Mm-hmm.
All right, did you have anything you wanted to say about, I kind of skipped through the beginning, stuff. Anything else you wanted to say about the movie? Thoughts? I feel like I've been the one talking too much.
I feel like the movie was okay. I just feel like I was expecting something different, and I didn't realize that this is part of a story, whereas like most movies are, you know, kind of filler or, you know, sort of like that. And I just thought, okay, we're just going to have a story that's going to focus mainly on Megumin because we know that's who the fans are obsessed with. So we're going to, you know, make a movie about her. And I didn't really realize that, you know, this is actually part of the story, which it's like, okay, so I guess the third season will pick up from here. I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't bad, but I felt like some of the jokes got stale near the end. They may have been funny at the beginning, and then it was just kind of like, and then, you know, the whole explosion obsession, it was like, okay, we're really now trying to cater to the fans here, and we're not We've kind of forgotten that there were two other girls in their team. So yeah, I guess it wasn't bad, but I wouldn't watch it again, you know?
Yeah, it does, though. I will say rewatching this did get me more interested in seeing what happens next. So, I mean, obviously, if there's another season, I'm going to watch it. But it's been making me wonder, well, maybe I should check out the light novels or the manga to, I don't know, actually, even if the manga is up to this point, to see what happens next, because there's a lot more to the story. The next arc will introduce Iris, who apparently is a super popular character. There's that popularity poll we looked at from a while ago, and she got second place or something.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm actually looking at another one, and this is interesting. Because I was mentioning, I need to find that that popularity poll thing again, because it was, I'm suddenly looking for it. Dang, I don't know where I put it. I just remember we were looking at it because, like, Megumin was in first place and Iris was second. Here's a more recent one, and I don't know if this was out when we were discussing at that time, but in this one, Aqua took first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Aqua, then Megumin, then Darkness, Iris, Union, Eris, Kazuma, Whis, Chris, and Veneer.
Mm.
Aqua won by a landslide too.
Wow, I don't think we saw that one.
Yeah, I just was trying to find the old one, so I searched for Konosuba character popularity, and then I found, and then there's this article on Anime News Network about it. Like Aqua got Although on the other hand, there was actually a goofy. On the other hand, before the poll was actually released, there's a goofy comic that was made in which Aqua is asking everyone to vote for her. So that might have helped a bit. But still, that does put all of the three female mains in first, second, and third.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so curious about Iris because she's apparently really popular. And I know nothing about her other than the fact she's apparently princess of some place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we'll find out if we get another season.
Yep.
Okay, so anything else?
Nope, not really.
Okay. Yep, so that was the Konosuba movie. I thought it was reasonably enjoyable, at least. I don't know. I guess we can give our top three picks. I assume we'll be exempting the movie because it was a movie.
Yeah, the movie, just give it something like one to 10 ranking, you know. I would give it a 6 out of 10. That's what I would give it. So, in fact, I think I already put it on my anime list, 6 out of 10, meaning that it was good, but it wasn't great. So, yeah.
I was pondering between a 7 and an 8, but I think I'll give it a 7.
Mm-hmm.
There were some very good bits, some parts that were not so good. Like I said, I am very curious I might look at some of the light novels to see how things continue. Cause I mean, I wanted to know what was going to happen next in ReZero. So I've been going through the fan translated web novels. Cause the light novel hasn't been published in English yet.
Right.
I don't know how much they get rewritten for the light novels. I'm sure I'll check those out when they come in. Right now, I'm about a third of the way through the next arc, actually, of ReZero. If you want my quick thoughts, because I didn't really care for season 2 that much. There's some The hard part in evaluating how this will be in season, the next season, is I've suddenly realizing the fact that, oh, this is all written stuff. It's harder to tell how good of a season it'll make, because it's not like a manga where you basically, it's essentially a storyboard for the anime to begin with. When we're talking about written things, when you bring it to an at TV show, there's going to be a lot more changes being made. So I am enjoying it. I was a little slow to get started, but I'm not. So that might be a problem with the season. It kind of depends on how much stuff how they decide to pace some stuff. But yeah, right. It does make me more hopeful for season 3 when it comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so right, top 3 things. So for me, I would. Wait a minute. How many shows did we even? 1, 2, 3. We only have 4 shows.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes things a little easier. For this one, I would put Attack on Titan in 3rd place, Food Wars in 2nd place, and to my surprise, I mean, I really liked this episode. That time I got reincarnated as a slime actually wins.
Yeah. I do put Attack on Titan in 3rd and Slime in 2nd, but Food Wars in 1st place.
Okay. All right.
Black Clover is filler, so it's going to have a hard time competing, you know?
Yeah. If we end up, I mean, because of the fact they're going to be pushing stuff later, I don't know how much longer we'll necessarily be keeping up with it as long as it's still in this filler arc.
Yeah.
Because I was hoping that the fact, oh, this is covering the things that happened off screen. The problem is most of this stuff just doesn't really matter much, and I don't think was alluded to. I mean, it's just a matter. This is why the anime manga just said, everyone got stronger. We're 6 months later. I mean, we'll come back definitely for, if we do that, we're definitely going to at least be around for the actual canon.
Right.
Anyway, so now that we finished all of our non-Toonami shows, they're done. Slime is on hiatus for a while, and but the other ones we're done with, until ReZero comes back with another season. So we're bringing some new stuff. Do you want to talk about it, or do you want me to?
You can go ahead.
Okay, so we'll probably be adding some more afterwards, but for now, since we were watching so many things before, we've moved back a bit. So for next week, we're going to be adding in the shows Baka and Test, and also Kaguya-sama Love is War.
Yep.
We'll be watching them both dubbed.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're both comedies, so hopefully that won't like, you know, feel like we're having too much of them, but we'll check them out. Hopefully we'll like them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Anything else?
No, I don't really have anything else to add. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. So we'll see you next week.
Bye.